Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm going to preach on the subject, the deception of universalism. The deception of universalism. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, and their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely." Notice that. Every one dealeth falsely. "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." And if you look back at chapter 5, verse 31, the Bible says, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" Now turn to, in the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. I'm going to have you turn a few places tonight. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin reading verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Verse 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Lord, bless your word tonight. Holy Spirit, help me. God, I need your direction, your guidance. I don't want to say anything that would be wrong. But Lord, I do want to please you. And I want your word, Lord, to be used, to be a help to the people. God, to convict where it's needed, to draw where it's needed. Lord, to humble us. And God, just work on our hearts. I ask that the Holy Spirit would do that tonight by the word of God. We need your help. Be with those who couldn't be with us for whatever reason. Watch over them. Be with those that we've mentioned earlier with the health problems, Lord. Help them. Thank you again for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for loving us when we were unlovable and saving us, Lord. Bless your word. I ask it in Jesus' name and amen. I want to preach on the subject, the deception of universalism. Now, that may sound awkward at first, but you'll understand what I'm talking about as we get into the message. Some people teach and believe that in the end, everyone will be saved. Some people teach that in the end, everyone will be saved. They believe that no matter if you have trusted Christ as your Savior or not, you will in the end be saved. And I can understand why this doctrine would be appealing or popular with a lot of people. It is indeed very disturbing and distressing to think that those who reject Jesus Christ would spend an eternity in hell. And that's what I mean by universalism, is the belief that in the end, everyone will be saved. A person, you, as a matter of fact, have to decide whether you believe the Bible or how you feel about something. You have to decide whether the Bible is your authority or is it something else. If the Bible is true, then there's a wrath to come. If the Bible is true, there's a heaven to gain. And if the Bible is true, there's a hell to shun. And many today, many modern preachers, many denominations, you'd be shocked, I think, to realize that many people today believe in this doctrine of universalism. Many of TV preachers, when they're pressed, believe in the doctrine of universalism. They have told millions of television viewers that a person will be in heaven regardless. Many of the modern denominations have also promoted this doctrine. And they do not worship the God of this Bible. They worship the God of their imagination. It's a God that they have created. It would be criminal for a man or a woman calling themselves a physician to treat their patients as many preachers treat their people. It would be a shame for a doctor to say everything's all right to their patient when everything's not all right. In other words, as Jeremiah says, to say peace, peace, when there is no peace. These modern day preachers comfort people who should be uncomfortable. And they tell people they're all right when they're not all right. Jeremiah spoke of these false prophets in his day when he said, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. In other words, they put a band-aid on a cancer. These people that Jeremiah described that we read about earlier were lying preachers. These people today who teach the doctrine of universalism are lying preachers. They're ear-tickling preachers. They are false prophets. And they're telling the people what they want to hear. Jeremiah said the people love to have it so. They love it that way. They were preachers for hire. They were preachers for hire. I've just got several points and then we'll be done. If you listen fast, we'll be done fast. But I do want you to look up a couple verses with me. I want to say, number one, not everyone's going to heaven. Not everybody is going to heaven. I want you to consider what the Apostle Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. We read it. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And then he makes this statement, for this ye know. You know this. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, here's some people that are not going to have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. They're not going to heaven. He said, you know this. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Now, this is just one warning to the Ephesian church, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at a similar warning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul again, speaking to the Corinthian church, says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Know ye not? He asked them a question. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. See, there's deception. Again, he mentions it. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he makes this statement, and such were some of you. That he describes them as being delivered, being changed. So again, he gives the warning. Now, just to show you that this is not some fluke, that the Apostle Paul, this is the theme of what he has to say, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. He mentions it again. Three epistles I've mentioned, and three epistles Paul warns people. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. After you read that list, you want to go gargle. That's a list, a bad list of things he lists there. And then he says this, of the which I tell you before, and as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know if I could make that any plainer than what he stated it there. In other words, not everybody's going to heaven. Just give you one more example, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This should awaken you to the fact that a lot of people who claim that they're Christians may not be Christians at all. This should make you wonder, maybe even about some of your own family and friends who say they're Christians, but that according to what the Apostle Paul says here, they're not Christians. I didn't say it, he said it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But then he says this, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in there, when you lived in them. In other words, the Apostle Paul said, you used to live like that. All I'm trying to tell you tonight is, well, I've actually got 2 points, and one of them is not everybody's going to heaven. The other point is when Jesus Christ saves a person, He changes the direction of their life. He changes the bent or the direction of their life. In John chapter 3, we read the verse this morning. In verse 17, it says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. A lost person is condemned already. The Bible says, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation. Here it is. Here's the condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John chapter 3 again, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth in him, or on him, I'm sorry, abideth on him. So we understand that if you believe on Jesus Christ, you're not under wrath. But if you have rejected Jesus Christ, you are under the wrath of God. Not everybody's going to heaven. The doctrine of universalism is a false doctrine. It's a false teaching. It's a biblical fact tonight that some people will not be in heaven. It is a biblical fact tonight that many people are under the wrath of Almighty God. That's a fact. Then secondly, not everybody's a true prophet. Not everybody's a true prophet. You know, just because a guy has a big radio ministry or a big television program or writes a lot of books, that doesn't mean he's a true prophet. Our opening text stated, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And tonight I'm speaking on the subject of the deception of universalism. In other words, it is deception to stand in front of a congregation of people, or to stand in front of a TV camera, or to stand in front of a radio mic and tell people that it's okay, everybody's going to go to heaven anyway. That is deception. That is deception. The Bible says, "Let no man deceive you." The inspired Word of God warns of this. Deceivers use vain words or empty words. They use words without any scriptural weight behind them. They say things like, "I think," or "I believe," rather than "the Bible says." The Bible says. I like to restate what the Apostle Paul said in verse 5 in the other passages that we had looked at. He's saying in Ephesians, he said, "Those who continue in a lifestyle of sin shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Those who continue in a lifestyle of sin shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to read this to you again out of 1 Corinthians. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind." That's the homosexual crowd. They won't inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know how today that we've got major denominations saying that homosexuality is okay. We've got major denominations today actually ordaining homosexual pastors. How are they doing that in the light of these passages I've read this evening? Well, they're teaching the doctrine of universalism. They're deceivers. If words mean anything, those who teach contrary to what this Bible says are false prophets. If you teach contrary to what the Bible says, that means you're a false prophet. They are liars. They're liars. And it's dangerous. The doctrine they promote is dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to stand up in front of a room full of people. And this recently happened to me. To somebody to stand up in a room full of people and tell them that they're all going to go to heaven and not warn them that you have to be saved. That's deception. That's dangerous. I wouldn't want to be in that person's shoes who promotes that kind of doctrine. It's unbiblical. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 20. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. I may have gave you the wrong text here. No, I'm right. The Bible says 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many," notice that, "and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And I could keep reading, but you get the gist of it. In other words, these people are false prophets. These people are false teachers. And the Apostle Peter said that false prophets will be among you. In other words, we shouldn't be shocked that there's false prophets. They, false teachers. And they bring in these heresies. And the people follow them. And really, the reason they do it is for money. They're covetous. They want the money. So they tell the people what they want to hear. They tell the people what they want to hear so they can keep getting the money. So they can keep living an extravagant lifestyle that they've grown used to. So these were false prophets. And you know, in the book of Jude, it says similar things. In Jude verse 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares." See, these people sneak in. They're Bible creeps. They sneak in unawares. They sneak into the churches. They sneak into ministries. And they preach a false gospel. And they do it little by little or incrementally. They don't necessarily come right out and say what they believe right off the bat. But they still, they're false prophets. And the Bible says, "Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that word lasciviousness, it means looseness. And it doesn't just mean looseness as in lacking moral standards. It does mean that, but it even implies a sexual looseness. It is a wantonness or a lustfulness or a improper lust, improper desires. And we've got that today, do we not? I mean, everywhere you go, we have that today. And so these people, they have turned the grace of God. They have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, if you tell anybody today, you know, you shouldn't watch that movie, it's got naked people in it, they'll just look at you like you got three heads. They don't even know what you're talking about. Christian people. They don't even understand. What do you mean? Is there something wrong with watching naked ladies on TV? I mean, that's really the way they act. That's how far we've come in this society. I mean, we have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. We have turned the grace of God. I mean, Christians cussing. When I was coming up, a Christian didn't cuss. That's one way you knew somebody was a Christian, is they didn't use foul language. But today, we've got Christians that brag about the fact that they can cuss. That is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. I'm sorry, I'm old-fashioned. I don't believe that. I don't believe in that. I think God ought to, if you get saved, you'll clean your mouth up. I mean, if you get saved, I think you'll quit telling dirty stories. If you get saved, I think you'll quit looking at girly magazines and watching naked ladies on TV. That's what I think. Now you crucify me later if you want to, but that's just what I believe. I think that's right. I don't have much tolerance for that kind of belief that says you can live like that. I don't have any tolerance for that. And these false prophets, they're in it for the money. These preachers, and we've got them around us. We've got them not only on TV and radio, they're in our pulpits up and down the road. They won't tell the people. They won't name sin. They'll talk about sin, but they'll never say what sin is. They won't say what sin is. Just in a general way, you know, you guys need to quit sinning. Okay. But the Bible tells us what sin is, doesn't it? It doesn't leave a lot of room to guess about it. These false prophets, they tiptoe through the tulips so they don't lose their salary. Somebody said one time they smoke their cigarettes, drive their Corvettes, and preach sermonettes. But I don't know about that. I like Corvettes, so I'm not going to talk bad about them for that. But anyway, many of these false prophets, they have nationwide ministries, and they can't afford to tell the people the truth. They can't afford to tell the people the truth. So they imply, and some even outright proclaim, that God is not going to send anybody to hell. That everybody's going to heaven. That is a deception. That's the doctrine of universalism. Listen, if there is no hell, and everybody's just going to float around in the spirit world somewhere, regardless of how they lived here, then why do we even preach the gospel? Why did Jesus die? Why are we pleading with men to be reconciled to God? Why do we try to get people to hear the message and to be converted? Why do we do that? Well, I tell you why. Because the Bible's right. The Bible's true. And if you reject the Lord, you'll go to hell. And if you don't want anything to do with God, you'll go out into eternity without God. And that's just a fact. And we need to warn people about that. We need to tell people about that. So, I want to give you the words of Jesus from this precious book, the Bible. I want to give you His words from Luke chapter 12. He says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." You know, we live in a day where people don't fear much. Matter of fact, they put it on the back of their truck windows and their car windows. No fear. They don't have the fear of God. They don't have the fear of anything, actually. But you know what? The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It reminds me of something happened to me several years ago. I was at a Super America, it used to be. And then they changed it to Speedway. But anyway, I was at a gas station, and this guy came in. And I mean, he was, to look at him was scary. He had enough metal on him. If I'd have held a magnet up, I'd have sucked him over into that magnet. He was pierced all over, tattooed all over, and he had on the back of his shirt something that I can't even repeat out in public. It was absolutely horrendous. It's the worst thing that I'd ever seen on the back of a shirt, bumper sticker, or anything. And I'm waiting in line behind him at the Speedway. We get out in the parking lot, and I'm shaking. I'm mad. I said, "Hey." He turned around. I said, "You've got the right to wear that, I guess." I said, "But I want you to know that's a very offensive shirt, and I don't appreciate you wearing that out in public in front of all these people." I said, "It's very disrespectful." And he just looked at me and shrugged his shoulders and walked off. And I thought, after I got in my car, I thought, well, I guess I could have got shot or stabbed or killed. But you know what? This is America. You have a right to speak your mind about something like that. Jesus said in Matthew 25, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a separation. And we take no delight in that. We have loved ones we'd like to see saved. We've had loved ones that's went on unsaved. We take no delight in that. We'd like to see people trust the Lord and be saved. But the fact of the matter is you have to be saved. The fact of the matter is there is no universal salvation. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a separation. I want you to turn to one more passage and we'll quit. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And verse 11. I want you to pay particular attention to these words, how powerful they are. And my reading of them won't do them justice. But verse 11 of chapter 20 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away." Think about that. He is so powerful. He is so mighty. He is so holy. The Bible says that the earth and the heaven fled away from it. And then it says this, "And there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great." What does that mean? That means the lowest beggar and the highest king. They're going to be there. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." Think about that a moment. Every sailor who's died at sea, the sea, all those atoms, all those molecules are going to come together and be brought to this judgment. The Bible says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." You know, it's bad enough to have to die once. None of us are looking forward to that. But we're going that way. But this second death, nobody needs, nobody wants that. Nobody. I know. I used to be one of those smart aleck teenagers that says, "Well, I'm going to party when I get to hell." I mean, I listen to AC/DC and I'm on the highway to hell. Hell ain't a bad place to be. I mean, those were the titles of the songs I listened to. You think I'm crazy because I'm against rock music? I think you're crazy if you think it's all right. That music influenced my life in a bad way. I don't understand Christians today saying rock, that heavy metal rock music particularly, is all right. There's nothing all right about it. It's very, very soul damning, very, very dangerous. And I was one of those kids who said, hell ain't a bad place to be. I'm going to go down there and party with my friends. But listen, it's not like that, is it? It's not what the Bible says. There's no party in hell. The Bible says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." And notice what it says in verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So one of these days, friends, there's going to be a separation. There's going to be a separation. It's a dangerous thing. It's a soul-damning thing. Could be a soul-damning thing to stand in front of people and tell them that everybody's going to heaven. Because everybody's not going to heaven. The dangers, the deception of universalism. Now, everybody here, I imagine, believes and agrees with what I've said tonight. But you know what? I still have to preach it. I have to say it again and again because there's so much false out there. Listen, you better base your life and what you believe and your eternity on this book right here. You better not base it on man's opinions or what society says or what the politicians say or what philosophy says or what the educators say. You better base it on this book right here. Because I'm telling you, just like I told you again this morning, the only thing that's going to stand one of these days is this word. I don't ever want to assume. Is there somebody here who's lost tonight? If you're lost, here's an opportunity. I'm inviting you to Christ tonight. I'm not inviting you to church. I'm not inviting you to be baptized. I'm inviting you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave here. Don't leave here without trusting Him. You can trust Him right where you're sitting. You say, well, I think I ought to come up front. Then come up front. Trust Him. Come up front and trust Him. But I'm telling you this. Trust Him. Trust Him. Make your calling and election sure. Know tonight for sure you're saved.